Hey everyone, welcome to episode 4 of Candor's Candor. My name is Dreamweaver. I'm your community manager on the forum. I'm here with Kyle Candor Valley, our creative director for EverQuest 2, and we are answering your questions and we are finding new and exciting things to talk about. What we were talking about before is the mistake I made last episode by sharing my phobia of unorganized bags, because now all of you are sending me photos of your unorganized bags. And I just want to say, this is my fault. I get it. I really should have realized by exposing my phobia to the internet, it was all going to fall apart for me.
Yeah.
So this is really on me, and I'm not apologizing for anything because I'm the one being punished, but still, I should have known. I really should have known. We're going to launch into the questions in just a moment that we have for this week. You guys have given us a ton of questions. Thank you for everything that you've put on the forums and on Discord, and a few of you who've even put your questions on social media. That's awesome as well. We're super excited. If you have friends who play EverQuest 2, or are thinking of playing again, or maybe thinking of picking it up for the first time, tell them to listen to the podcast. It's a very good entrance for some people into these things. And let's get going. Really quick, before we get started, the audio quality, we're trying a different one than we used for episode 3. So if it's a little bit weird, don't forget, we're at home right now. Kyle and I are nowhere near each other, and we're giving this a shot over the internet because we want to make sure these episodes get out to you guys on a fairly reasonable schedule. So we're definitely working on it. We're super excited to keep on recording episodes. And let's start with our first question. I kind of moved the order of these questions around because this one is very important to me. But forum user PixieSick asks, Kyle, do you like tater tots?
I do.
Do you have like a favorite combo of tater tots, or like pure tater tots? Like, what is your best tater tot? Like, what is the prime for you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been into getting the ones from, you know, from the store and putting them in my air fryer, so you know you can cut down on the fat calories and stuff.
That sounds pretty tasty, actually.
Yeah.
Do you pop them? Are they like popcorn for you, or like, like how do you eat them? I know we're spending some time on this, but like, this is important to me and clearly PixieSick. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what I'm eating. If I'm eating anything with them, but I have been known to, you know, eat an entire plate of just tater tots. So
nice, good to know. The people want to know, and now we know. So thank you for your absolute candor on that.
Yeah.
So the first part of PixieSick's question is actually about Battlegrounds. So are we planning on bringing back the old Battlegrounds at all?
We are not, and there's a lot of reasons, but basically that system would have to be totally rewritten. We have so much to do regularly that, I mean, there's just the system is degraded over the years, and it's caused people to, you know, lose characters and to get sent to character select, and then all their characters disappear, and there's just all this really out of whack stuff with it. Because I mean, the honest truth is Battlegrounds was like a directive at the time from the people above way back then. And we got them in as quickly as possible. And that whole system was not meant for long term. It has not weathered the years well. And I mean, at this point, we're still trying to catch up with the stuff we absolutely have to do. We still have, you know, a couple newer coders. I mean, I don't foresee us going in and rewriting those anytime soon. So, I mean, my answer for that is probably not.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's a pretty definitive answer, I think. I think it's definitely one of those things, while we understand that players, there are that subset of players that were super passionate about it, it's one mm-hmm. of those things that's not currently on our slate, and yeah. we're not really looking at them. Not the
we
moment,
are,
at least.
We are not done with PvP, I'll say that. So
that is going to really get some people excited that we've said that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good to know. We'll probably talk about that more in another episode, though. Probably not this time, since we have a fairly expansive question that we're about to pick next.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no other way to describe it. I know people would love for us to go into PvP, but the other question we picked is probably going to take up quite a bit of time on this episode. So forum user and Discord user ClintSat asks, they'd like to hear more specific things about class balance, such as, and it's a four-part question. So let's hit part number one first. What does class balance mean to you personally from just a general design perspective?
To me, it's for EverQuest 2, there's, 26 classes. class balances, every class has a need, every class has a utilization. We're hoping to get more of the higher tier DPS classes up to where everyone can contribute and everyone feels like they have the ability to contribute in a meaningful way. There is no such thing as perfect balance. I don't think we've ever been close, but at the same time, we don't want to have classes that people just flat out don't even, play. There's been some, there's been some things that I've said in the past that people misconstrued and took the way they wanted to hear. About how, we do not go into each year and go and choose an alpha class or who's going to be the flavor of the month or whatever the terminology is that is flavor of the month. you make adjustments because, certain abilities need to be adjusted or certain, sometimes there's abilities that aren't even worth being on your cast bar. And then there's, sometimes abilities that are just completely overpowered. So we adjust things and, sometimes we get new alphas. We don't go into it with the idea that, okay, this year, assassin is going to be the alpha class. We'd prefer that if there was multiple classes at the top that can compete and can, and everyone can have fun. That's kind of the end result, right, is that A, you can have fun, and B, you can accomplish, the things that you feel like you need to accomplish, like raids and heroics and all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the second part is, how is balance going to be observed, measured, or monitored, or how was it observed? How did we do that in the past? If it's something that we've been doing previously, or how are we going to do it moving forward?
We do have logs. We do log basically all damage. We log, just about everything. So we do look at, at what our logs are saying and where we think and we absolutely listen. We do listen to player feedback. I realize people, they think, we're not constantly commenting on, feedback, that we're not listening, but we do listen to player feedback. We do, if everyone's saying that something is terrible, we definitely look at it. We don't just disregard that. We just don't have time to comment and make outward statements about everything that everyone wants. They want us to hear their feedback, and we do hear their feedback. We have slash reports, so we read those every day. That's where people put bugs and feedback. We go through that. So we have Discord, which is a constant, ever churning source of player feedback. But we have a lot of, we have tools, you know, to observe and we also have, you know, devs that play the game. And so,
yeah. Okay. So what role, that's a good segue into the next question that Clint asks, but what role do you feel that player-driven feedback plays in the process of class balance?
Well, I mean, obviously we always ask that everyone, you know, gives us constructive, you know, feedback. And I think that, you know, you see a lot of X needs to be adjusted, X needs to come up, X needs to, you know, do this or that. And, you know, there was always this like misconception that like one of our devs played an assassin, so assassins were always the best class and stuff like that. You know, it's a balancing act. We definitely, I mean, if that were true, then brigands would be the alpha for sure, and everyone would just be sad. So
that way, no one needs that in their lives. Don't do that.
Because that's what I play.
Me especially. I especially don't need that in my life. Don't do that to me.
Because I play brigand, right? So, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, going back to what, you know, they're asking, it's just an amorphous process where we don't have time to adjust everything. As we've stated this year, our goal is to do an AA revamp, and there's a lot of feedback we've seen that we've witnessed that will probably get adjusted with, you know, some AA abilities. We're still playing around with what we want to do with it, but we want it to be a more, you know, amorphous thing where, I mean, ultimately, like, this is just my personal opinion, but like if AAs were at a point where you literally had to change them depending on, you know, what content you're playing or what fight you're doing, because there's enough stuff that you actually care about to use, that would be the ultimate, right? Like, you know, I want to have three templates, and this is my DPS template, and this is my utility template, and this is my, you know, tanks. This is my, you know, this is my tanking template. This is my off tanking template. Like that, ultimately, that would be like the ultimate, right? Is there's so many cool things that you want to do.
Choices available for each separate situation, theoretically.
Yeah, we always say choices, but I mean, for real choices, like, you know,
yeah, making a smaller amount of things mean more than a large amount of things mean less.
Right. Like, yeah. I always envisioned that, like say, because I play a brigand, that you could actually have AA templates where it's like, okay, I'm a brigand, and I'm more of a single target, like, DPS utility, but there's actually a template where I can do more AoE damage, and I can, you know, contribute to, like, more, like, AoE-style fights or, you know, hitting multiple mobs. And then there's a template where it's like, you know, I use this because I'm debuffing and I'm using, you know, debuff abilities and stuff like that. So, I mean, right. I was envisioning it like that, where when we put in the, you know, the AA templates, the next, you know, goal was to adjust the AAs. And it's just one of those things that we've talked about. And, you know, the maintenance of just keeping the game rolling is such a, you know, a task.
Sure.
That, you know, so this year, like we said, we cleared out a lot of tasks just to make sure we can work on AAs and stuff like that. And hopefully it's going to be really cool. So, and we're still messing with how you're going to earn them and stuff. Like, I don't want it to just be a grind fest. I don't want it to just be a, you know, so I don't know. Maybe there will be a way to grind them. Maybe there won't. I don't know. We don't know yet.
Okay. All right. So the final portion of Clint's question is related to the marketplace and overall class balance. But how does the marketplace factor into how we balance raids, fights, heroics, how Kaith balances, how Kroll balances, how Janinja balances.
My answer to that is it doesn't. I mean, like, even when we do heroic balance, we're expecting players to have, you know, expert spells. The idea is there's a lot of character progression, but I mean, even at the top end, we do not factor anything that we have on the marketplace into balance. There's nothing there that's required. I think there's this
perception, maybe
because everyone, you know, the mighty god called Parse, and you know, if you don't have like all the baubles and all the, you know, bells and whistles, then you're not topping the Parse. But I mean, I'm telling you, like, skill is still a huge thing. There are still, you know, assassins and wizards and warlocks and people who, you know, they don't have all that stuff and they still manage to, you know, crush it. So it's like, we don't factor any of that stuff into balance, and we never have, you know?
Okay. I feel like that's a pretty definitive answer. So one final thing before we wrap up this episode, because we're almost hitting the edge of our time. I know that the mages over in the
our mage area,
the coloring corner, Crayolas only. Uh-huh. If you're on Discord. I know that they specifically are worried about class balance that they're going to be receiving. And I thought it'd be nice if we just, while we can't talk specifics yet, because there are some things that I think Kaith is still nailing down. Mm-hmm. I just want to have it come from you that they're definitely one of the things that we are working on class balance.
Yeah, mages were the number one priority for the GU. So, We definitely made adjustments. You know, like, in my opinion, you know, Warlock and Wizard definitely needed to come up a bit. They're supposed to be tier one DPS classes. So, you know, that's that's kind of the goal there. But I mean, I feel like overall, we're also kind of in this place where we try not to nerf people and we try to bring other people up so that it's, you know, it's a feel good thing for everyone. So we've been making adjustments on mages, all mages, for this GU. So there also might be a couple other classes that get some adjustments, but,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've told people that, you know, mages were the priority, so, and they were, so.
Good. I mean, it's also always good to hear that come from you directly on the larger, like,
forum. Yeah. Yes. I mean, this will probably be the year that we spend the most time focusing on class balance. And class balance, again, is kind of a weird term, because it's more like we try to look at classes and look at why, you know, they're not desirable in certain roles. And then we try to give them tools, you know, to be desirable in those roles. And I mean, we don't want to have any class that's just, oh, no one plays an assassin. That's just a waste of time. So,
right. That makes sense.
And it's a very, very amorphous, twisting world machine of class balance in EverQuest 2. And, you know, just like I said, I honestly believe they're, you know, I mean, I've played other games where they went too far with class balance. And, you know, basically people say, hey, you know, just doesn't even matter what class you played. They all do the same damage within, you know, X, or they all have pretty much the same, utility, and that's not fun either, right? So
right.
It's definitely a balancing act. I know that sounds aloof, but we could literally talk about that stuff for the next 10 podcasts, you know what I mean? And I also don't want people to feel like we're not addressing their concerns.
Sure.
We are definitely, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like EverQuest 2 is going to be, well, we turned 15, and a lot of people have played it that long, you know, in my personal view, I feel like, you know, this game is theirs, you know, it's their game, more than it is ours. So, player feedback is definitely something that we always listen to. I mean, we try to gauge it. We try to not, you know, knee jerk reaction to stuff. We try to have, you know, numbers and information before we make changes. But that's, you know, it's, we are definitely, I mean, this year is hopefully going to be the year where we do the most of that type of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think also to an extent, what's important to remember is for players, and I had a long, long time ago, I was super involved with a game as like a player representative, for lack of a better term, which is part of the reason I'm super passionate about the community council. But I gave reams of feedback, and maybe one or two things the entire 4 years I was a player representative were acted upon. And what I had to learn, and not that I'm saying that people don't know this, but sometimes I know we can forget, because I still do, and I play games constantly, and I'm on other forums, and I'm on our forums, and I play our games, is that just because we're giving the feedback doesn't always mean, one, it's something that can be acted on, or two, that it's feasible. But I think what we're striving to be better at for us specifically for EverQuest 2 is making sure that people understand that we are listening and that we are receiving the feedback, even if we can't always act on it or it's not something that we can feasibly do. It doesn't mean that we don't want to hear it.
Right.
And I think that's key. I know that people can sometimes feel like they're not being listened to. And I think that's one of the things, not only with the podcast that we're trying to do, but that I've been trying to get through on the forums and on Discord and on social, is the feedback itself is important. And it's just because it's not being acted upon or it's something that we can't do, it doesn't mean we don't want to hear it.
Right.
I think you would echo that as well.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, feedback affects, you know, future decisions, like, you know.
And that's another important thing. Like, we're planned out for quite a long time. It's always possible that the feedback could affect something that we haven't planned yet, and it's going to be instituted quite a bit down the road, but we are still working on it.
Yeah.
So I think that's our episode for the day, though, because this one ran a little bit long, and I was definitely worried about this happening, and I feel like it's going to happen more and more, and I want to try and keep these short, mostly for the sake of those of you who are listening, but also for our poor sound and editor, sound and our editor for this, because they have to listen to it too. So I think that's all for us today.
Yeah, I think keeping it shorter keeps it interesting and, you know, makes you want more, I think. And, you know, then you want to hear the next one. I think if they go too long, they're going to start
get tired of us.
Yeah, they're going to get tired of us and we're going to bore them to tears.
And then they're going to start sending me more and more photos of their bags and I'm just going to be a crying, sobbing, curling mess on the ground. It's just so stressful.
Some of those are pretty terrifying.
They are. They're so scary. I just don't understand. I think that's it for us today, though. Kyle, thank you so much. This is episode 4 of Candor's Candor. I'm Dreamweaver. See you in game.